It's Cofield and Company.
I hate these guys. I don't know why you don't, and I'll be in the car.
Steve Cofield.
Well, that's a first. I'm used to human women saying that to me.
Adam Candy.
I'm in a hostile environment. I am completely unprepared. I'm surrounded by people who probably want to kick my ass. It's like being back in high school.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on this Friday. We are all over the western region of the United States. Cofield here in Logan, Utah, getting ready for a UNLV game tomorrow, midday game. And of course, we got Super Bowl coming up, so at one of the cool sports books in town, Adam Candy is stationed at Hooters. What's up, Adam?
I got it on lock here at the Hooters, guys. We're good to go.
You got it on lock.
Yep. I wanted to bring out a reference from at least 10 years ago to make this day sing for you.
Nice. So what's cooking down there?
You know what? We got some action down here at the William Hill Sportsbook. You can see a whole bunch of guys actually getting their bets in. I know we're going to talk a whole lot more about that, but nice atmosphere down here at the Will Hill Sportsbook. We've got a whole lot of room to spread out and enjoy, and looks like good atmosphere to enjoy the big game.
We are going to take a quick timeout, clean things up a little bit, and when we come back, we'll get you all set for Super Bowl 53, as we have a big Cofield and Company on the way on this Friday.
Continue the Cofield and Company conversation on Facebook. Friend us at ESPN Las Vegas.
I'd love to hear more. Do you have a card?
This is it. This is when you can either let something happen or make it happen with your professional custom card from Vistaprint. Right now, you can get 500 business cards personalized the way you want them, starting at just $9.99. You pick the look, the style, and the statement you want to make in the moment. Now is the time to make something happen for your business. So own the now with 500 custom business cards starting at $9.99 at Vistaprint.com. Just use promo code 3232. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3232.
The Western Hunting and Conservation Expo is coming to the Salt Palace Convention Center February 14th to 17th in Salt Lake City. Enter the drawing for 200 Utah hunting permits for just $5 each. See the latest hunting gear and 500 guides, outfitters, and exhibitors. Get $10 off admission at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, Les Schwab Tires, Utah Toyota Dealers, and Sportsman's Warehouse. Be sure to apply for 200 of Utah's best hunting permits for just $5 each at huntexpo.com. You must validate in person. This year, Eli Young Band and Locash perform live. And don't miss the record-breaking auctions for the biggest and best hunts on the planet. The Hunting Expo's made possible by Utah Life Elevated, the Mule Deer Foundation, and Sportsmen for Fish and Wildlife. It's the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo. Visit huntexpo.com for more details.
Sign up today for a new William Hill Mobile Sports account and you can earn up to a $50 bonus. The William Hill Mobile Sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live in-play betting on football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, and tennis. You can fund your mobile account at over 350 locations including PT's, Sierra Gold, SG Bar, Sean Patrick's Pub, and 7-Elevens throughout Nevada. For more information, visit williamhill.us. William Hill, the home of betting.
Hey Vegas, Clay Baker here with you, and now it's time to get back to clean for 2019. That's right, Zero Res is back at it, and they want you to start the new year in an extraordinarily clean, fresh, and healthy home. And it starts now. They will pre-treat, clean, sanitize 3 rooms of carpet for just $89. 89 bucks! This is their lowest price ever. And they'll clean 100 square feet of tile for free. That's normally 125 bucks alone, but it's free, free, free! All you gotta do is call Zero Res now. And as for the Clay Baker special, 702-840-3333, or go online, ZeroResLasVegas.com. 702-840-3333. Oh, I know how it is. You got the friends and family over at your house, dropping stuff, making spots all over the place. You can make the pet stains, the traffic lanes, all those spots disappear for one low price, $89. Call Zero Res now and ask for the Clay Baker ESPN special. Minimums apply.
Clean carpet, Zero Res it. Z-E-R-O-R-E-Z. Call 840-3333.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you talk faster when your phone has only 1% battery left.
Hey, hon, what's up?
Hey, sweetie, can you pick up Kitty Litter Fabric Softener? Oh, the lemony fresh kind. And French vanilla non-dairy creamer on your way home from work.
What?
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Why are you talking like that?
Gotta go. I'm taking Kevin to Taekwondo and I only have a...
Honey? Hello?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
This is your day. Your day to do what you love. Your day to be with the people who mean the most to you. Your day to work, to play, to make those big moments happen. And to enjoy the little moments, too. This is your day to live to the fullest. And Southwest Medical, part of Optum Care, is here to help you do it. We put patients first. We build a preventative care plan around you, and we have 370 providers in more than 35 locations, including convenient cares and urgent cares where you never need an appointment. And with hassle-free Now Clinic virtual visits where you see your doctor from home or on the go, plus secure online access to your health records through the MySMA Health Online Patient Portal, we're right there with you every step of the way. This isn't just any day. This is your day. So live your best, Southern Nevada, because healthy looks good on you. Southwest Medical Associates. See us at smalv.com today.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they help me. They calm me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a lot better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Guys, let's face it. Your health is an us issue. How you feel and perform not only affects you, but it also affects your loved one and your entire family. Whether it's having the energy to take the kids to the park or having a fulfilling relationship, it all starts with a healthy you. If you've been having difficulty losing weight, feeling tired, or experiencing low libido, you may have low testosterone, very common in men as they age. The good news is, a visit to Universal Men's Clinic could put you back on the right track.
I'm Dr. Charles Arakaki for Universal Men's Clinic, where they specialize in treating erectile dysfunction and low testosterone. With modern medicine and the latest technology, patients experience a high level of care.
Make an appointment before Valentine's Day and bring your spouse or partner. Your office visit will be free. Let Universal Men's Clinic help you live your best life. Call Universal Men's Clinic at 702-430-6994. That's 702-430-6994. Or visit universalmensclinic.com.
I will sell your house at a price acceptable to you in 30 days or less, or I will buy it from you. My name is Troy Kearns with Platinum Real Estate Professionals, and in the last 12 years, I have bought and sold thousands of houses. I am an aggressive agent that knows how to negotiate with other agents and extract the most money from the buyer and get you the most money. And if I cannot, I will buy the house from you. Write this number down, 702-912-4871. That's 702-912-4871. Your house sold in 30 days or less, or I'll put my money where my mouth is. Call me right now, 702-912-4871, or text 702-912-4871. House needs work, clouded title, family feuds, nasty divorce, whatever the problem is, I got a solution that will work for you. I will sell your house in 30 days or less, or I will buy it from you. Write this number down, 702-912-4871, or log on to troykearns.com.
We buy houses for investment purposes only at a discounted price.
Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress. Shop our Tempur-Pedic President's Day sale going on now and save up to $500 on select Tempur-Pedic adjustable sets. See for yourself why it's the most recommended bed in America. Our no-pressure sleep consultants will help you find the Tempur-Pedic that's right for you. Plus, 72 months no interest and up to $300 instant store credit and free delivery. Shop Best Mattress today, your Tempur-Pedic headquarters, home of the 120-day sleep easy guarantee.
It's Cofield and Company.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
Everyone thinks we suck.
Everyone thinks we suck. Yeah, and not quite the case. Super Bowl 53 is coming up. I'm fired up. I don't know if everyone else on the show is fired up. Probably not as much as me. Adam Candy's hanging out at Hooters Casino at the William Hill Race and Sportsbook. McKinnell will be along in a little bit. It's Cofield on the road in Utah. So before we took an abrupt time out there, Adam, I was asking what the vibe was down at that William Hill Race and Sportsbook, because I know around the city the big bets are starting to come in.
Yeah, and the action, you could tell, is picking up down here. I actually had to kind of weave my way through the people a bit when I came through the sportsbook. But, yep, William Hill Sportsbook, 900 different ways to bet the game. They've got live in-play wagering, $100,000 parlay card, just $5 to get in. You need the winning side on 15 props. So, yeah, that's a tough one, but you can get in on it. 100,000-plus card, all the other big game wagers on the William Hill Nevada mobile sports app. And you can tell some folks are getting their wagers in right now down here at Hooters.
How much will you bet on Sunday?
How much will I bet? You know what? I'm going to probably go with a strategy of going low limits on everything but firing it a lot, because I just want to feel like I've got a whole lot of stuff going all throughout the game.
Pre-game or in-game?
Probably mostly in-game, because I feel like that's where I tend to gravitate a little bit. I've already got some stuff in pre-game, but in-game for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm all over the in-game, because I don't like the numbers in the pregame. I don't think there's any edge on one side or the other. And I am down with absolutely checking what's happening during the game and then trying to get good numbers that way.
Yeah, I think you're actually way better off with that. I mean, you know, NFL numbers are pretty well scrubbed at this point anyway, you know, all throughout the season. But this particular one, yeah, there's just not a lot of incentive.
So some big bets earlier in the day coming into William Hill included, this according to Patrick over at Covers, and I'm guessing he got it straight from, yeah, he did, Nick Bogdanovich, the boss at William Hill, better put down $1.5 million on Rams money line to win $1.8 million. How many million-dollar bets are we going to get this time around? Because I know last year it started, I think it may have eclipsed 10-plus last year. I know it was at least in excess of 6 or 7.
What I'd heard was that there were a few where, you know, the calls would come in maybe a day or so ago, just sort of feeling out what it was going to take to lay it down. So we know they're going to come in late for the most part. But, man, I'm sure they're happy to see some Rams money coming in, especially at that size. I mean, we've been waiting for some Rams money, not even on the line. You know, we're talking about a money line bet on the Rams. So books get to balance things out a little bit with that kind of coin coming in on the Rams.
Well, it's been nuts, right? I mean, it's been Patriots money basically 75% or more at every book around town since the number came out.
Yeah, it has been right from the start. And so they've been waiting for this one to come in on the Rams. So, you know, good on Will Hill.
We got to get back to one of the big stories of the day. And we've got a lot of Super Bowl stuff coming up, including our own little props contest. I've got about 15 props that we're all going to make a selection on. We'll see who can win, but we're going to play by the numbers. So, you know, you got also have to weigh how big a minus you want to lay on some of these numbers. But big story of the last 2 days in the NBA. My God, this one just buried the Anthony Davis thing really quickly. And now we've got Porzingis on the move. He's going to Dallas. Now the possibilities for the Knicks are immense. You are a Knicks fan. If I were a Knicks fan, I wouldn't be that optimistic, but I'm not a Knicks fan. You have lived through this hell basically since, you know, mid-late 90s is the last time they were, you know, really, really relevant.
So how are you feeling today?
If you've ever been through a really bad breakup, like that girl that you thought she was probably too good for you to get and somehow you landed her, and then all of a sudden, like, 6 months later, you thought you had it going good and she just drops you. And, like, that night, you know, you talk yourself into it, you have a couple beers, whatever, and the next morning, like, you have that 10 seconds or so when you wake up and you feel good, and then it comes down like a giant freaking boulder on top of your head. That's what I had this morning when I woke up and remembered the Knicks had traded Kristaps Porzingis, because we have not had anything. For 10 years, we haven't had anything to feel good about. And just one thing, Phil Jackson got one thing right in the whole time he was there. It was Kristaps Porzingis. I don't care that he was hurt. He was ours, and there was something to feel good about in the Jim Dolan ownership period. So honestly, you know why it trumped Anthony Davis the way that it did? Because the Knicks are the Knicks, and they walked into the store. They didn't compare prices at all. They didn't go on Amazon to see what else was out there. They bought the first thing on the end cap six steps into the store. And that's how we have Dennis Smith Jr. and two picks that are going to come down the line in about 16 years. So that's how I'm feeling today.
I thought you were more upbeat. I thought you were getting fired up.
I'm trying to see, here's the deal. I'm trying to talk myself into it. And I know, I talked to you before the show, and I was like, you know what? Why not? Why not? Give it a shot. Why not? But these are the stages of grief,
there,
man.
Though.
These are the stages of grief. They come and they go. And you go from one thing into like, oh, God, no. And then you go into grief. And then, oh, maybe I can accept it. And then I start bargaining with myself, right? Like, all right, well, you know what? Maybe this is the right way to do it. They'll get a couple draft picks, even though the second one doesn't come through till 2023. Okay, I'll talk myself into this, that maybe, just maybe, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have formed a blood brother bond and that they're coming to New York. But you know, Steve, you know why I don't buy it? Because I was alive in 2010, and I watched the Knicks sell everything to make room for LeBron and maybe one more max free agent. And then LeBron... Mm-hmm. And then LeBron went to Miami, and then we got Amari Stoudemire and his 1.5 knees on an uninsured contract for 5 years that hamstrung the franchise. So no, that's why I'm not confident in anything that comes out of Jim Dolan, Steve Mills, or anything else out of Madison Square Garden, because it was 1995 the last time the Knicks were relevant. That was the last time that you could get excited about what was going on with the New York Knicks, and it ended with John Starks shooting us into oblivion.
Yeah, so I follow the Knicks for as long or longer than you have, and yeah. I've seen this happen over and over and over again, you know, going all the way back to, you know, whatever, Bernard King.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not the guy who's going to pump you up. I was surprised that both Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright over on Fox 1340 and 98.9 FM were fired up about this. So I'll have you listen to some of the highlights of what Cowherd was saying. Let's fire this, Chrissy. Is Colin is actually thinking the Knicks made a good move.
A huge deal. They got rid of a great player who I would have struggled giving a long-term contract to, Kristaps Porzingis. 7'3.5", not a natural height, a slasher who collides with bodies at the rim. He's not your classic post-up. He is a Scottie Pippen slasher with a better jumper. He's been brittle. And he just came off a nasty injury. So what they did in New York was, great player, we can get a lot for him and get rid of some contracts.
All right. What I don't like here, Adam, is the tearing down of Porzingis. To me, this sounds like, and not that Colin has been fed by the Knicks, but I never heard the stuff about Porzingis until this deal yesterday. So what's cooking now? Now he's not valuable?
Isn't it interesting, Steve, that Kristaps Porzingis was the future of the Knicks up until 30 minutes before that trade went down yesterday? And so we're supposed to believe that as it started to leak out that the Porzingis camp let the Knicks know that they weren't happy with the direction of the franchise and they wanted to know what was coming next, that 30 minutes later, you had a trade involving six players and two draft picks ready to go. Somehow, I don't think the Knicks put it together that quickly. And so the tearing down of Porzingis is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Look, I see where Colin's coming from. I understand that you're saying maybe you don't want to commit long-term to Porzingis. But the logic that he's not a classic post-up, it's the NBA in 2019. What does a classic post-up do for anyone, anywhere? And right. If you want to talk
he's
about...
Chris, he's Scottie Pippen.
Oh, no, yeah.
He's Scottie Pippen.
Get
out of here.
He's Scottie Pippen. He's 6'7", long muscles Scottie Pippen, but who, by the way, was not a lot wider of a frame than Kristaps Porzingis. Look at Dirk Nowitzki if you want a comparison. Dirk Nowitzki is 7 feet tall. Yeah, he doesn't maybe cut and move the same way that Porzingis does now, but Kristaps Porzingis was doing just fine until he came down awkwardly on his knee. It had nothing to do with cutting or slashing or getting banged. He came down wrong on a dunk, on a breakaway. That's it. Any player in the NBA could have come down that way. So no, I don't like this whole thing where the Knicks are leaking out this stuff about Kristaps Porzingis. And Frank Isola, who covers this franchise for The Athletic, had a really good column about it, who said, you know what, if the Knicks decided their future is without Porzingis, so be it. They're entitled to choose their own direction. But tearing him down on the way out makes no sense whatsoever because, yeah, okay, the kid blew off an exit interview with Phil Jackson a couple years ago, which frankly, after everything that went down with Phil Jackson, I think we all would have blown off that exit interview with Phil Jackson on the way out the door at the end of the season. They claim that's where the bad will started. It's just kind of crazy that we hadn't heard anything about that, right? All we heard is that Kristaps Porzingis is going to get paired up with Kevin Durant, that Kevin Durant's not happy winning championships and living in San Francisco, that he wants to come to New York and play for Jim Dolan. He wants to play for Jim Dolan as much as we want to work for Jim Dolan. So Kristaps Porzingis doesn't deserve any of this, and I wish him so well because he and Luka are going to be a blast to watch in Dallas, and I'm going to cry every time I see it.
Here's more Cowherd trying to go glass overflowing with the Knicks moving Porzingis.
Now, my gut feeling is they'll probably end up with Kemba Walker and Jimmy Butler, not Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. That would still be really good with Kevin Knox, with some nice young players, potentially Zion Williamson, number one draft pick.
Wait a second. What just happened there? He just went from the grand plan, which everyone's fired up about, and that's why you're clearing the deck, to get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and now he's talking Jimmy Butler and Kemba Walker. What's going on here?
Oh, God. This is, you're re-traumatizing me over and over again. I was depressed yesterday afternoon. I really was. I was like shaking myself out of a fog to go do the things that I needed to do. And hearing the names Kemba Walker and team killer Jimmy Butler are not what I need to know right now, Colin. Seriously, that drives me insane because the Knicks deserve better than that. They're not going to get better than that. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are coming. I think this is another giant swing, and I can only hope that something good happens. But as a Knicks fan for the last 40 years, I don't believe that it is. So I don't know why now Colin is going to sell short on this plan because he just made it sound like it was the right thing to do for the Knicks, and Kemba Walker and Jimmy Butler is not the right thing to do for the Knicks.
Here's Nick Wright, also works over on 1340 and 98.9 FM on the national side, talking about how great this is for Kevin Durant.
Everyone can offer Kevin Durant the max, everyone that has cap space. Mm-hmm. The Knicks can offer him his own franchise. KD, you can pick your teammate. You can pick everything.
Okay, that is virtually everywhere Kevin Durant could go, maybe outside of the Lakers.
What did we go through last time Kevin Durant was in free agency? We went through the Hamptons and the recruiting and everyone thinking that they had exactly the pitch, right? The Boston Celtics sent everybody out there. I mean, they might as well have had Red Auerbach come out of the grave and give him a box of cigars for the way they were recruiting Kevin Durant. And what did he choose? Did he choose to go have his own franchise? Did he choose to go to a place where he could say, hey, you know what? I want this guy and this guy and this guy. No. He went to Golden State. He went to the exact opposite. So sure, maybe he's thinking something different now. And maybe he's not. Maybe the Kevin Durant that we've heard about all these years, the Kevin Durant who doesn't want to be the top dog, who wants to have someone else there to take on the pressure, maybe that's Kevin Durant, because that's what we've been talking about for years, right up until this year when the Knicks rumors started making their way out there. And if that's the case, then Kevin Durant's not coming to New York and picking out his teammates and saying, yep, me, Kyrie, and Kevin Knox are going to take on Golden State, are going to take on the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Ding, ding. So what would you bet? Prop that went up yesterday. Kevin Durant signs with the Knicks for the 2019 season. No, minus 250. Yes, plus 180.
Oh, bang. I only have to lay 250 on that? Bang, yep. The no.
Amazing, right?
I'll take all that.
I know.
No way.
I don't know how many times we've been through this. I don't know how many times we have to explain. And the one thing we haven't mentioned, which is the biggest factor, is ownership. And people know that guy around the league. He's got a background, you know, with claims of being racist and misogynist. That doesn't just go away. It's not, the players are not stupid. And New York alone, as the Mecca, is not a big enough draw to cross out all of Jimmy Dolan's negativity. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting. What did Kyrie Irving pull in these most recent comments, where he basically just reneged on what was thought to be a verbal that he was going to stay around? I mean, it wasn't official, but that he was going to stay around with the Celtics, and he's like, I might be open now.
Oh, for the love, man.
This is going to totally screw with your mind.
No, you know what? You know what? This is WWE stuff right here. This is, good God, that's Kyrie Irving's music, because here he comes out of the tunnel to throw himself back into this whole discussion. Man, it's unbelievable. I don't buy it. I don't buy the Kyrie Irving's coming any more than I buy the Kevin Durant's coming, and definitely not that they're both coming. I don't see it at all. I don't blame the Knicks for taking the swing. If that's the decision you want to make, make the decision, because you know what? You've already traumatized your fans so much over the last 20-plus years that there's no way you could knock us lower than we are. Like, I'm going through those stages with Kristaps Porzingis right now, but if you want to sell me on the dream of Durant and Kyrie Irving for a few months, sure, because what else do I have to grab onto right now? I've mentioned the name Jim Dolan over and over again on this show. I haven't said New York Knicks owner and Satan brother Jim Dolan, but that's exactly who he is. And Jim Dolan is the reason that these free agents aren't coming. Seriously, go back over the last 30 years, I'll say 20 years. Who is the last marquee free agent to come to the Knicks? Amari Stoudemire is the biggest name you can come up with who came as a free agent to the New York Knicks, right? That's the biggest name that came to New York. A guy who had bum knees, who gave them 1.5 good seasons before he started soaking his body in red wine and taking the next 3.5 years off because he didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving's not coming. Kyrie Irving is screwing with all of us.
I know.
It's glorious. Don't get me wrong. It's glorious. Imagine if Manny Machado or Bryce Harper in baseball came out and started playing the sorts of games that Kyrie Irving is playing with the media right now. Ask me again, right? July 1. We would have a field day.
Amazing. Ryan McKendall's helping us out today, so we are all over Vegas. And like I said, I'm in Logan, Utah, getting ready for UNLV at Utah State. Adam Candy's down at Hooters at the William Hill Racing Sportsbook. So throughout the show, I'm going to throw props at you guys, and some are going to be on the game. Most are going to be around the game, kind of the goofy props. And basically what we're doing here is you're making a pick to wager to win $100. Well, it's 100. If it's a minus, you're wagering to win 100. If it's a plus, then you're putting 100 down on the plus. Understand?
I think I understand. Not much of a numbers guy, but I follow.
Chances are I'm going to screw this up, but let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go. And I'll mark down these answers. We'll keep track, and we'll see. We'll have to come up with a bet at the end of the show on the loser. Will the opening kickoff of Super Bowl 53 be a touchback? Yes is minus 220. No is plus 160.
I'm going to go yes.
That's decent value on no for what we could have. I'm going to go no.
Really?
Yeah, I'll take no on that.
I'm going to go yes. And I think Adam's actually making the smart play with the minus, staying away from the minus 220. Nice job. Nice job. All right. Next one. Will there be a wire-to-wire victory by either team, meaning they get out to the lead, they win the game? Actually, we should. What is the definition of wire? This is why these props, when you start looking into it, it means they never lose the lead.
Right. No lead change.
But ties are okay.
No lead change.
So, no lead change.
So they take the lead.
Right.
They never officially lose the lead. We'll say ties are okay. Same order. McKendall, you have a no. Wire-to-wire is minus 150. The yes is plus 120.
Yeah, I'm going to go no. It's a Tom Brady Super Bowl. I was actually just talking about that with Seidel. I was trying to think of, like, the least exciting Super Bowl this guy's been in, and it has to be, I think, that Philadelphia one, you know, like 12 years ago or whatever. Like, this dude is not in boring Super Bowls, so I got to go no.
Oh, straight no. I mean, we both watched the AFC and NFC championship games, right? Like, neither one of these teams is even close to dominant. I'll take no for all of it.
And I'm going no. All right, and then one of my favorites. You got to think about this one. Gladys Knight, National Anthem, my favorite prop every year. Over 1 minute and 45 seconds is minus 140. Under 145. Well, this is an offshore book, so the plus is not great. It's even. So minus 140 over, under, even, minute and 45 seconds for the national anthem.
You know what? I guess I'll take the even money. I'll go under, but I'm going to do you, and I know this isn't a part of the prop, but there is a prop out there for it. I'm going to say no mic stand. So I'm going to say under, and I'm going to say no mic stand. There you go.
Can you actually get us the odds at some point in the show on that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, hold on a second. Do I now have to parlay the over-under mic stand? Jesus.
No.
McKinley,
no.
You're making this more difficult than it needs to be.
He's like, I got a snitch for you. No mic stand. Over-under 1 minute and 45 seconds.
Gladys Knight is probably getting her biggest stage for a long, long, long time here, and I don't think she's giving it up that easily. I'm on the over.
Yeah, me too. That number's ridiculously low. The average the last, like, 5-6 years has been around 158, so I don't know if there's a snitch on this, there's inside information, but I'll lay the minus 140 here. All right, guys, we're going to go down to Atlanta next and talk to one of the folks from the Boston Globe. Is Tara Sullivan's been around the team all week with a giant crew of writers from the Boston Globe, so we're going to get some insight on the Patriots here on Cofield & Company as the countdown on a Friday for Super Bowl 53 has begun.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We're still here! We're still here!
Oh, those gritty-gutty Patriots. Somehow they made it. They defied all the odds. Of course, the odds before the season in Vegas said they were going to make it. They were the favorite. Pretty amazing, but hey, whatever it takes to motivate you. We got a three-headed monster today. We won't include Chrissy in that, but McKinnell and Adam Candy and myself, Steve Cofield. Let's go down to Atlanta, and the Boston Globe has a ton of folks covering the Super Bowl. Why not? The Patriots make it a regular thing, and Tara Sullivan is on the road in the ATL doing great coverage. What's up, Tara?
Hey, how you doing? I'm the underdog here in Atlanta. Didn't you know that?
We're good. I know, right? Well, how do you? I mean, listen, you've been covering sports for a good amount of time. How do you look at this whole "we're still here" and, you know, the underdog thing and bet against us that the Patriots are using for motivation? And frankly, the fans are really buying into it.
Well, of course, it's slightly insufferable. I mean, it's the Patriots, but what I'll say is, now this is my second tour, like, through Boston. I'm into my second Super Bowl covering the Patriots. And, you know, this year was a little different, the 2-2-game losing streak, you know, not being at their best in December. There were a few things that, you know, clearly did spread some more doubt among people. So that, I think, is what they're tapping into, that this year felt a little different. Maybe people just thought they had, you know, to use one of Brady's lines, like, kind of fallen off that cliff or something. And then when they rallied late in the year, you know, to get back here, they feel like they've proven some people wrong. Is it, like I said, you know, is it a little bit much to take at times? Of course. I mean, they're the Patriots. It's ridiculous. They seem to have a permanent date in the AFC Championship game. But I buy into it only slightly, but, you know, not completely.
So what's been the mood of most of the players as you talk to them in terms of, you know, being kind of comfortable and trying to, and but, you know, still maintaining that edge as they go into this game?
I think comfortable is a good word, because there's a familiarity there that is impossible to replicate, you know, and it's something you do not see on the Rams side of the equation as you're here. You can't help but notice some of the wide eyes and that, you know, with the Rams players, and this is all so new to them. I think, though, with this particular Patriots group, there's a comfort level, but there's also a confidence level, because they just have a little mojo. There's something not unlike what we saw with the Red Sox. Like, there's just some really good camaraderie there. Their locker room, maybe it's because of that stuff, you know, what they, you know, convincing themselves that people didn't think they could do it. I don't know. But I think they just have a really good chemistry. So that comfort and confidence does really come through when you're around the team.
Here with Tara Sullivan of the Boston Globe. Tara, let me ask you this. There's a lot of narratives, obviously, surrounding this game. One of them is, how much longer can Tom Brady play? But he's proven that this dude can play forever. I'm more interested, how long is Rob Gronkowski going to play?
Yeah.
Because you listen to some of his words this week during Media Day. To me, Tara, it's very likely this might be the last game of Rob Gronkowski's career. What are your thoughts?
I would agree with you. I would not be at all surprised. I would put it, you know, if you really did get me to guess 80-20, maybe, you know, maybe. I just don't see it. The way, even beyond media night, the way he has spoken so candidly and openly about the toll it takes on your body when he's saying things like, you guys think, you know, people think you can just bounce back up. They don't understand. You've taken hits to the head and the body, and you feel bad the next day. I mean, this guy has thrown every ounce of his flesh, you know, into this game. So, you know, he's famously talked about how he has invested all of his salary money. He has lived off his endorsement money. He's made, he's got money in the bank. And how much more is he willing to put his body on the line? It wouldn't shock me at all if this is the last game we see.
Yeah, so if this is the last game for Rob Gronkowski, what do you think comes next? Because the dude clearly has charisma. We haven't seen the last of him. I would imagine the booth is an option for him, Tara. And a lot of people have thrown around the idea of him going to the WWE, including the Athletic's own Vic Tafer. I spoke with him earlier today. Do you think that's a possibility? And if it is, I mean, that's not exactly easy on your body either.
That would be my answer. I mean, personality-wise, that's an obvious fit, right?
Right?
The guy's such a great entertainer and has such an infectious personality. Physically, I think he'd be insane to do that. There's no way. I don't care how fake or whatever you think some of that stuff is. There's no way I don't think he would want to put his body through, you know, any other kind of pounding like that. But there is a role for, you know, there's got to be a role for Gronkowski in our football conversation. I don't know if a traditional booth is something he would do, but, you know, just more things like that, because he really is a very likable personality and somebody who really, you know, he has a lot of really interesting things to say about the game.
Yeah.
Tara Sullivan, Boston Globe, nice enough to join us here on Cofield and Company in Vegas. You got to check out the Globe. How many writers do you have down there total, Tara?
About 15, I think, or a little, you know, there's some editors and photographers. Maybe the total, I don't know, some 15 to 18, something like that. I'm not sure I've even met them all the weekend, you know what I mean, as we're canvassing Atlanta for different stories.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are well staffed for this game, thank goodness.
Assuming it's not Gronk, who's been the most interesting Patriots player or staffer you've talked to in terms of getting something really good out of them?
Ooh, what a good question. I haven't been asked that one before. let me think. Well, I probably am just betraying my own alma mater, but the McCourty brothers are just my favorite. They're just great interviews, and I think Jason McCourty and that story, joining this team this year, never having made the playoffs before, being on the team with his brother, sort of really establishing his own profile in that locker room. I think they've been a very compelling human interest story. I'm a sap for the human interest story, so I, you know, that's probably been my favorite outside of the really, you know, kind of conventional Brady, Gronk, Belichick, Kraft, that kind of stuff.
Ryan, you like how I got that in there, the Rutgers pop?
Yeah, I saw that. You couldn't, Tara, you couldn't see him. He was very, very, very excited when you you gave him that little pop, as they say in the professional wrestling business.
Upstream, yes. Red team. You know,
yes,
it.
Yes, well, yeah, it's not that upstream often, believe me. The guys in Vegas have to hear me lamenting about Rutgers all the time. So what's been the coolest thing that you've seen in Atlanta so far in terms of you know, the events or you know, even the fan base there? And because I find it fascinating that Atlanta has, it sounds like, I mean, the mayor already came out, Atlanta basically is like, hey, that 28-3 game, we're not letting that go, so we're rooting against you too. Not only is much of the country and certainly LA is rooting against New England,
yeah,
but Atlanta is too.
Well, I'll tell you though, the fans who have shown up here are 90-10 Patriots fans. You know, LA's fan base cannot match that yet, but maybe you're right. When you add in the locals, you definitely get the anti-Patriot sentiment, the people who are tired of them. I mean, the cool things for me, like, I love, you know, I'm 50, I've been watching football forever, so when I walk by, you know, Dan Marino, Jerry Rice today, Phil Simms is my favorite from, you know, I still get a kick out of that stuff. I love the chance to talk to those guys. It's nice to see. The weather was really pretty crappy early here, not like the polar vortex, thankfully, but very cold here early in the week. The last day or two, the sun's come out, so really the downtown has really come alive kind of tonight, and the buzz is finally feels like it's here. There's a great story in the Globe. You know, Atlanta, great hip-hop culture here. One of my colleagues, Nora Princiotti, wrote this great story about how Brady is used very often in hip-hop lyrics, like something I never would have been able to write, but a great sort of connection to this city. So, you know, but for me, it's kind of the Radio Row stuff, seeing who else is here. I get a big kick out of that kind of stuff.
Did you know that, Ryan McKinnell? that Brady's a big part of hip-hop?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, when you're the greatest of a generation, people like to compare yourself to the greatest. So if an MC is saying, I'm the greatest, you're going to use the GOAT. And if you're going to use the GOAT, you got to bring up Tom Brady. It makes sense.
And he's, as one editor, as one of the interviews pointed out in her story, he's easier to rhyme than Jake DeLome.
Yes,
you know,
that's
like,
that too.
you need to rhyme with Tom or with Brady. It's not that bad, but you're right. It's all about the greatness.
Yeah, and if you go to home, then it's basically everything just rhyming with home, and it's terrible.
Exactly. Exactly. Poor DeLome. I don't know.
It's Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe. You kind of hinted at the Rams having a different feel around them than the Patriots, because the Patriots are so comfortable. Kind of the same question I asked earlier. What have you seen, whether you talked to him directly, what's one of the more interesting angles that you've seen from the Rams side?
Well, I haven't gone as much, but it's impossible to ignore, you know, this overarching storyline, which is this veteran, you know, old school Belichick and Brady, they've been doing this forever, you know, versus these young guns. It's not the first time we've seen this storyline with the Patriots, you know, getting past the Chiefs last week with, in the AFC Championship game with Mahomes. But the idea of, you know, which of those is going to win out? Is it the Rams? Will they be carefree enough and just, you know, kind of unaware enough of the stakes and just kind of like the Patriots were in 2001, right, in the 2001 season when they won their first against the heavily favored team? Maybe the Rams can do that, but I don't know. I'm not convinced. There's a part of me that wonders, like, are they not going to be so wide-eyed that before they know it, they're down 14-0? You know, like, I wouldn't be shocked if something like that were to happen on Sunday. But so to me, that's kind of the most overarching, interesting thing, that sort of old-school, new-school, you know, Belichick can do it forever, and McVay, you know, this young genius guy. I find that interesting.
I am very worried about Jared Goff.
Really? Now, see, because it's interesting, the way they talk about him is all about his poise, right? The guy is unflappable. Nothing bothers him. It got crazy in the last game. He told everybody in the huddle, you know, shut up, listen to me, we're good. You know, so that is what they like most about him. But this game is different. Everything is different. The starting time, I was just saying that to somebody today. You know, the starting time, there's no other point in the season when they start at, what, 6:30, right? These guys are creatures of habit. So right off the bat, you're dealing with something new. These Patriots, they all know how to do that. So I'm with you. I don't know what to expect from Goff in that regard. Like, we know he's a good quarterback, but it's just different playing in the Super Bowl.
From what you know, are New England Patriots fans superstitious?
In what ways? I mean,
well, here's what I got to reference.
Yeah.
By the way, Tara, you should mention you're clearly not a fan of the Patriots. You grew up a fan of what team?
Well, it's not that I'm not a fan. I actually think I love writing about them. They're great.
Right.
Patriots fan is a little tough to take. I grew up in New Jersey, yes. So I think I gave it away already when I said Phil Simms was my favorite player. I mean, I was dad had Giants season tickets, you know, back in the Yale Bowl days. So, yeah, it was Giants and Yankees for me. Certainly were 1 and 1A interchangeable. But,
yes.
I respect, I mean, with this team and these last 20 years, I mean, it's unlike anything I think we'll ever see again. I think it's amazing. But the fan up there, yeah, like, it's hard to even explain the kind of with us or against us and the whole world against us. You know, it's what did I say?
You don't have to explain it.
We
see it on social media, and we've got a ton of Patriots fans in Las Vegas, and this is, like, the number one Patriots-hating show. Maybe in the country outside of maybe New York and New Jersey, we blast the Patriots. But my question
on spoiled they are, right? I mean, it's
they have no idea.
They just don't know. They have no idea.
It's out of control. As a Yankees fan, I look at them now and I'm like, hey, it was never this good for this long for the Yankees. And I know people cringe at that. But on the superstitious thing, I wanted to ask you this: how do you think Patriots fans will react to this one? Headline in your paper, Mayor Walsh tells Patriots fans to behave on Super Bowl Sunday when celebrating in the city. Wait a second. Does that mean he's guaranteeing a win? What are you doing here?
Huh. That's an interesting one. Yeah, I missed that headline, but I don't even actually recall when they misbehaved, so I'm surprised. I don't know. That seems to me advanced worrying on many counts. One, counting your chickens that they didn't win the game yet, and two, anticipating problems that you haven't even had yet. So seems a little, premature to me.
Yes. Absolutely. All right, everybody, check out the Boston Globe up online. As Tara said, you know, 15-plus people between writers and photographers and video folks, and their coverage is basically unmatched when it comes to the Patriots side of things. Tara, we appreciate it so much.
Thank you. It's been fun.
There you go. Tara Sullivan, Boston Globe. I like that. How about that? Because here's the thing. Ryan, I hear all the time that there's a bunch of radio dudes in Boston mm-hmm. who go at the Patriots and hate them, which that's from fans, right? That's from fans. So basically, what I'm guessing is they try to play it down the middle, and people immediately take that as they're Patriot haters, right?
Yeah, there's no way you would have a job if you were in Boston dumping on the Patriots, like if that was your brand. Like if you every day you came on the air and you were just like, oh, Robert Kraft, what a bum. He has no vision. And Bill Belichick, completely overrated. And don't get me even started on that Tom Brady guy. No, it's an impossibility.
So, but I rarely heard a Boston area writer call the fans knuckleheads.
Yeah, you know what?
It's and, like, the angle of, you know, we're still here as insufferable. I enjoyed that. I don't know if I expected that. I was kind of hoping that was that would happen with that spot, but I really enjoyed that it happened.
Yeah, it's probably more like, you know, generally speaking, it's probably more like the hate that Adam Hill gets when he just talks about the Knights being on a 3-game losing streak. It's
yes.
Like, yeah, no, they're on a 3-game losing streak. I can't say it any other way. Like, I would imagine that's the more regular sort of Patriots hate you get in Boston. But no, I'm with you. A little surprising on that end.
Amazing. All right, we're going to rejoin Adam Candy here in just a couple minutes. He's hanging out at William Hill Racing Sportsbook over at Hooters Casino. You got a great Super Bowl weekend on the way. We'll tell you more about the events that are going on down at Hooters. Any William Hill Racing Sportsbook you go to, they've got over 400 props. They've got 1,000 different ways to bet the game, so make sure you hit all these different spots, or at least one of them, right? You've got all these opportunities around Las Vegas and around the state of Nevada to hit one of the William Hill Racing Sportsbooks.
Cofield and Company returns in minutes on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Up top, Miller. The righty banks it back down low. Left side, Stastny. Pacioretty shoots and scores! Stastny to Pacioretty.
Full house today as we are all over Vegas. I'm actually in Logan, Utah. It's Cofield on the road, getting ready for UNLV and Utah State. But Super Bowl 53 going down on Sunday. McKinnell's in studio. Adam Candy is down at Hooters. We'll tell you what's going on Hooters in terms of a cool party on Saturday. It's not just all about Sunday, but they've got a party on Saturday. But you heard the VGK highlight on the way back. Ryan set us up here. We got coming up in less than 5 minutes, and we do have some news today in this Carolina game as – this is something we discussed, I think, probably 2 weeks ago about getting Fleury some more rest and maybe even some rest once the second half started, and that's the case, right? He's not starting tonight.
That's right. No, he's not starting tonight. Maxim Legacy is going to be starting. He's got called up. We saw him a little bit last year, obviously, when you were dealing with the when VGK was dealing with the Marc-Andre Fleury concussion issues. He's back up now. He is starting tonight, and it kind of makes sense. Listen, Vegas is playing a doubleheader. They're playing tonight, and they're playing tomorrow. Okay, doubleheader isn't the correct terminology. Back-to-back. They play, obviously, Carolina tonight. They play Florida tomorrow, so it stood to reason that you were going to see the backup at one point. They're actually, I don't know if surprisingly or not, I'm not sure with the thought process, they're going with the backup tonight, coming off the All-Star break and the long break, and I'm assuming Fleury will be back in net tomorrow.
All right. I want you to run by Candy a couple of your ideas for the trade deadline. What are you thinking, McKinnell?
Okay, well, there's obviously the trade deadline is approaching. There's a couple interesting things here. Adam, I'll get your thoughts. As Steve said, first up, there's talk about Wayne Simmons from the Philadelphia Flyers being on the block. It's an interesting piece. I'm not sure it's a piece that Vegas is going to want to go after. Although, listen, at any point, I mean, the real story of the season has been, where's the scoring going to come from, right? The top line hasn't delivered when they've needed to. The second line's been great, but the third and fourth have been pretty much non-existent. So Simmons would add to that. I guess the question would be, Adam, is what do you do with Peary? What do you do with Tuck? It would create a bit of a logjam there in the second and third lines.
There are attractive things about Wayne Simmons. You know, you're talking about a guy who you're not committing to beyond this year.
Yep.
15-goal scorer. not really going to help out moving the puck around a whole lot. But the other thing I really like about Wayne Simmons for this particular VGK team is a right-handed shot, which they don't have a lot of. So just to balance things out a little bit, I'll get back to in a minute when we get to the right part of this. But I don't know, though, that top nine forward is my number one priority at the trade deadline for this team.
Yeah, and I like what you said about the right-handed shot. When you bring that up, that's not something I really considered. I mean, I know Marchessault is a right-handed shot, but as far as, like, names, like, you're right. They don't really have anyone who can score goals outside of John that's a right-handed shot, not least that I can think of, so that's a great point. I'm going to pivot. You brought up the other point of this.